You may be wondering why there's a bunch of cell phones on the screen. Well, this lesson is called, if we can get to it here, come on, you have a text. Texting has become so ordinary today, and can you believe how fast it has become ordinary in such a short amount of time? You think about just about, say, maybe 10 years ago, texting was just kind of coming onto the scene. And now it just totally permeates our society, doesn't it? We see advertisements, they'll say, well, text free stuff to 123456 and you'll get lots of free stuff, or you get more information. Or you look at Craigslist or Thrifty Nickel and it'll say, for more information, text or call. Because nobody wants to talk, they just want to text. In the farming industry, you can text a picture, send a picture through your smartphone of, say, a bug or a weed that you have, and your crop advisor can tell you what it is, or you can look it up on the internet, or send it off and they'll diagnose your problem. We get texts all the time. Me and Amanda get a text from the school. They set up a new system the past 2 years where they can text updates and event information, and most of the time stuff for sale, fundraisers that are coming up. But they do have, sometimes they'll, you know, early out, or buses won't run on the pavement, or buses won't run on the muddy roads. Stuff like that. It's helpful. It's amazing how quickly that technology has advanced, hasn't it? I kind of thought when texting first came out, it'd kind of just be a fad and it would just kind of go away. But it's just getting more and more and more, isn't it? Where would we be without our cell phones? To not have a cell phone is just almost bizarre in today's world. And so the question is, what would happen if we treated our phones like we treated the Bible? Or what would happen if we treated our Bible like we treated our phones? What would happen if we treated Jesus like we treat our phones? Or the other way around? So there's several points here we're going to get real quick. How about we used our Bible and we had twice as much Jesus in our life as we did our phone? You know, there's some folks that have more than one phone. Does anybody here have more than one phone? I don't know. We've got two in our household. Some households have one for every member of the family. Some have multiple phones. There was a guy I knew several years ago. He had three phones. And he was in the trucking industry, manure spreading, silage chopping business. He had three phones, and he had Velcro and stuck them on his steering wheel, so he'd have all three of them right there. So when one rang, he could just grab it, and you know, another one rings. That's what happens, huh? Having two phones is not really that convenient, because when you're talking on one, you might get a call on another one or a text on another one, so you feel obligated to. You don't want to ignore the second call. So can you just imagine having three phones? I would never do that. So what would happen if we had twice as much Jesus operating in our life? Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So when we visualize this verse, we're visualizing a vine on a grapevine, a branch on a grapevine. And so I can imagine the ones my folks have at their house, and they've been there so long, and they're so intertwined into the arbor, I guess is what you would call it. They're so intertwined with each other that to break them apart, you're going to break the vine. You're going to have to cut the branches to get them apart. There's no way you could ever unweave them, right? Do you imagine that when you imagine Jesus in your life, that you are so wrapped up in Jesus that to separate and be apart from him, you'd be like cutting off a branch. I think some people would break their hand if you removed their phone from their hand. Have you seen anybody like that? Don't take it out of my hand. I got so tickled yesterday. We was at the balloon fiesta yesterday morning. And I know you can only look at balloons for so long. And after a couple of hours, you want to kind of start doing other things. I was standing in line for something that everybody was standing in line for. And I looked, and there was three or four young people right behind me, and they all had their smartphones doing this. And here the sky was full of balloons. I just got tickled. I wish I had a picture of that. Like I said, I realized that, you know, after a while, but still, I wonder if their hands would have broke if you had taken their phone out of their hand. They were so wrapped up and permanent. And you can see it if you go to a restaurant. You'll notice a young, and this is, you know, it's mostly our younger people, my generation. This is much about me as it is anybody. You go in a restaurant, you watch a young couple sit down, and just wait, how long does it take them to pull their phone out and start doing this? Usually it's immediately. They'll sit down and they do this. I'm not being critical. It's just part of our society today, isn't it? Can you imagine the power and confidence that we can walk in as Christians if we had a double dose of Christ in our life? Instead of two phones, how about a double helping of Jesus in our life? Spend twice as much time with Him as we do our phones. Can you imagine our lives if we'd let the fullness of Christ that is available to operate in our life? And one last point about this having a double dose. When me and Amanda go to town together, we always make sure we both have our phones, don't we? So when we're in Walmart and we're lost and we can't find the other parent, we can call and, oh, well, we're over in sporting goods. We're over in the grocery section. We're by the checkout. It just makes for convenience, doesn't it? It makes our life very convenient. All this so we can stay in touch with someone. So a double dose, twice as much of Christ in our life, we need to stay in touch with Him twice as much as we do. The second thing is we don't leave home without it, do we? How many of you have your cell phones with you right now? Anybody want to raise their hands? I have mine in my pocket. The ringer's turned off. Most of us brought our phones, didn't we? If we didn't bring it into the building, we'd probably have it out in our car. How many of us intentionally leave it at home when we come to church? I'm not saying we should. I'm just, you know, do we do that? We don't usually. We usually bring it with us, don't we? How many of us, when we come to church, if we lived out far away, like a few of us do, if we realized we'd left our phone, who of us would have turned around and went back to go get it? And of course, we always say, well, we feel naked without our cell phone, don't we? We feel naked if it's not hanging there on our belt or if it's not in our pocket. We kind of get the shakes if we get off without our phone, don't we? Do you see the point I'm making? We must have our cell phones with us. It's part of our society now. If we leave home without it, oftentimes we'll turn around and we'll drive back. We have done that, haven't we? We've all done that. Just in case someone calls us or just in case we need to call somebody. What would our lives be like if we felt the same way about Jesus? Remember what Jesus said in 5:15, verse 5 of John? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from our cell phone, we can do nothing. Sometimes we feel that way. If we fully understood, as we do with our cell phones, that without Jesus we can do nothing, I think we'd begin to make a difference in our lives and in this world. We can think about all the industries that have changed because of cell phones. And I think of specifically the ones that I know of, I'm familiar with, farming and trucking. Farming is just totally different now. You know, used to what the husband or the farmer would go out at noon and say, I'm going to be back at such and such time, and I'm going to be on this place, so if you need me, come get me. We don't do that anymore. I say, I'm going out to go plow, and if you need something, call me. And I may not be there in that same spot, but Amanda needs to call me or something. Things like that in trucking. You could not operate in the trucking industry without a phone now. It's just impossible. Used to, truck stops would have phone banks, dozens of phone banks, because when they got in the evening, they had to call their dispatcher to find out what their load was for the next day or the next week. Don't do that now. You just take, you get your Bluetooth and you talk while you're going down the road. And he calls you and tells you where you're going and what load you're doing and stuff like that. It's totally changed our industry. It'd be difficult to perform in today's industry, in today's business environment without a cell phone. Many of us cannot operate if we forget our phones. Or even worse, we're on a trip and we forget to bring our charger. We wake up in the morning and we leave our home in a hurry. And oftentimes we forget to take Jesus with us, don't we? Would we turn around and go home to pray first? Oops, I forgot to pray. I need to go back to the house and have some quiet time to pray. Would we go back to the house and go read some scripture that we forgot to read in the morning? I don't know. Do we ever feel naked when we do not have Jesus with us? When we feel like our lives are leading us away from our Savior? When we leave our homes, we think about the cell phone, whether or not we have it for checking messages, and if we have it with us. But oftentimes we don't even think about Jesus when we leave the house. Some of us can go days without thinking about Jesus. But we'll keep our phone with us every day, just in case. 12 or 14 hours a day, just in case. We need Jesus with us much more than we need our cell phone. Oops. Now, why did that back up? I wasn't paying attention. Making the call, receiving the text. How many calls on a day, average per day, do you think you make? Everybody's different. I know guys that make 50 or 100 calls a day. Depends on their business, their work, depending on how much they like to talk. Consider for a moment if you prayed in the name of the Savior as many times as you dialed a number on your phone. Or every time that you received a call, as many calls you made, if you've made that many prayers in a day. Excuse me. Do you understand that Jesus said in John chapter 14, 13 through 14, "And whatever you ask in my name, that will I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Jesus is always ready. The only way to ask is to call on Him. We call people multiple times a day to ask them something. Sometimes it's often just trivial. Wife needs to find out. Amanda calls me to find out what time I'm going to be coming home. Sometimes for supper. I mean, it's not terribly important, but it's kind of important to her at the time. And, you know, it's not really a serious issue. Sometimes we call people for a serious issue. Can you imagine being in a face-to-face conversation with someone and then telling them to hold a minute while you go talk to Jesus, while you go pray for a moment? That person would probably think you're losing your mind. You know, I have known of situations where the situation was getting kind of heated and somebody suggested they stop and pray, and sometimes people don't want to do that. Some of us have been in business meetings or classes or seminars, some sort of big meeting. And during those meetings, today people are usually pretty good about muting their ringer or turning their phones off during the meeting to not disturb others. But what's the first thing that happens when they have a break? Everybody runs to the back to go make a call, to go check their text, go check their email, check Facebook, I guess, I don't know. People immediately reach for their phone to make a call and see who has called them or texted them. It's almost like an addiction. Imagine, if you will, the response you would get if you took a break and you went and prayed during a meeting. You think anybody would notice? Anybody would notice that's different? You think they'd think you're crazy? A weird Bible thumper? I don't know. Have you ever... We talk to people while we're driving. We're not really supposed to do it. I don't really understand the difference between holding your phone like this and talking with the hands-free. They've said that that's not really making enough difference. Either way, we talk while we're driving. Have you ever prayed to the Lord while you were driving? Before I move on, I want to touch on one thing about text messaging. Amanda brought to my attention here a while back. She saw out here on one of the county roads where the Brooks machine shop and one of them lives there in that house, have an old pickup out front. And she said the other day, it said, "Honk if you love Jesus, text if you want to meet Him." Implying that if you're going to text, you're going to have a wreck and you're going to get to see the Lord right then. I thought it was kind of funny. We've got to take, like I said, texts that permeate our society. Oftentimes we can't wait to return a text when we should. What would happen if we rushed and hurried up and stopped what we were doing to read a text from Jesus, a text of His words recorded for us in the Bible? Just as we rushed back to the back of the building to see what text we missed during the meeting. And just in case you're wondering, His text messages are found in the Bible, aren't they? And better yet, imagine our lives if we responded to His text messages every time we read them. And with the same urgency we do with our cell phones and our family and our business texts. So what about giving Jesus as a gift? Some of us have received cell phones as a gift. Some of us have given them as a gift. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19-20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We are to give Jesus as a gift to the world teaching them about baptism, teaching them about serving the Lord. And in carrying out this message, we are offering Jesus to a dying and sinful world. We are giving the world a gift. Just like Amanda's phone, it was actually a birthday present for her a couple of years ago when she turned 21. maybe it was 31, I don't remember. Consider how our lives would be if we gave Jesus to our kids and to the world as a gift, just like we give a phone. And I'm not talking about, of course, forcing anyone to accept Christ. That has to be their decision. They have to do it on their own. But showing them Christ every day in how we live and carry ourselves in front of them. Instead of striking back at our neighbors that do things we don't like, we give them the gift of Christ. We give them the attitude of Christ in return. And if we give the gift of Christ, you know, that cell phone's going to be outdated within, what, 2 weeks, a month, a year, who knows. Pretty quick, it's going to be outdated, and there's going to be the next one out. The gift of Christ never gets outdated, and it is the gift that keeps on giving because somebody else can give it to somebody else for generations to come. You can change a family tree by instilling Christ in someone. Every 2 years, people want to upgrade to the next newest model. Plateau even has the plan where you can pay $10 a month. You get to upgrade every year. You get to stay ahead of the game. Everybody wants the newest model with the newest apps and the newest bells and whistles. We should be the same, except instead of waiting in line for the newest iPhone, we should be eagerly waiting for the next great biblical lesson we might learn in the text that we receive from our Lord. And also biblical lessons we might pick up from a Christian friend or a teacher. We use Jesus in an emergency. We use our phones in emergency sometimes. A lot of times this is a justification for a new one, or giving one to our children, or spouses will have one each because we might need to call them in emergency. They might need to call us in emergency. And it's a justifiable reason in a lot of cases. We want to make sure that we are in touch with people. I've made the point with Amanda that if I'm out in the field, and usually if I'm working on equipment, I'd like for her to be available in case I get trapped or something, because I have heard of that happening. I've heard of things, you know, farmers getting equipment falling on them and they get trapped, and they have been rescued because they had a phone on their belt or in their pocket and they were able to call for help. And like I said, in generations past, it'd be 5:30, 6 o'clock, and she wouldn't know until they went come looking for me, and I'd be there laying under the tractor tire. What about Jesus in an emergency? What about having Him readily available for emergency? Sometimes we keep Him around just for that. Apparently there was a show on TV about people stealing cars, and the policemen rigged up the cars with a device that would turn the car off once they were stolen, and they also installed cameras and a microphone in these cars so they didn't catch these people in the act of stealing these cars. And they would leave the car running, or they'd leave it just there with the keys in it, and when somebody took off in it, they'd record their response, they'd shut the car off, and the police would come up behind them, aha, we caught you, that sort of deal. Well, apparently a couple of ladies jumped into this car and took off, and as soon as they noticed the police lights behind them, the women started screaming out, Lord Jesus, help! Lord Jesus, help! Lord Jesus, help us! Help us, Lord! Help us, Lord! Help us. They were saving the Lord for an emergency, weren't they? When instead of waiting until she got caught, she should have called on the name of the Lord in prayer when she was being tempted to steal that car in the first place. We carry a phone with us with the confidence that if needed in an emergency, we'll have it. We'll be able to call someone for help. The only thing we have to worry about is whether or not the phone will actually work in the area that we are in, and if we get a signal, and that it will not drop the call. One thing's assured about the Lord, calling on Him, praying to Him, you will never get a busy signal, will you? He will always answer, and you'll always have a signal. He will never place you on hold, and most importantly, He will never drop you, like our phones are famous for. And what about the voice and text plan from the Lord? First of all, it's prepaid and we're always connected. You know, when phones first came out, they were, of course, large and bulky. And oftentimes, you didn't get very many minutes, did you? a lot of times you had like 30 minutes with some of the first plans that came out, 30 minutes a month. Then they raised it to 100 and they raised it to 250. And then if you went over those minutes, you paid severely, didn't you? You paid a very severe penalty for overage. And there was none of this unlimited everything like we have today in our phone plans. And thousands of people, a lot of people paid a lot of money because they went over their allotted number of minutes. I remember it was a couple times I went over. It was, you know, 50 cents a minute or something like that. It really got your attention. And of course today with the growing influence of phones and the growing competition and the growing infrastructure, there we go, I knew the word come to me, the infrastructure of cell phones today that's so readily available, they've responded by offering more and more minutes, oftentimes, like I said, unlimited, family plans, bundle packages, free mobile-to-mobile, things like that, family plans. But then you also have your prepaid cards that you can pay up front for your phone, where you buy so many minutes. We see some people use those because it's more convenient for them, and it's a better deal for them. But, of course, once you use up your minutes, your phone quits working. Now, you don't necessarily pay charges, it just quits working. Well, Jesus has already prepaid for our communication with Him. We never have to worry about going over our minutes because He has paid for our extended use. Unlimited everything. We have unlimited everything with our Lord. He has sent us as many texts as we could ever possibly read. We could never finish reading His text, could we? He has offered to pay all the penalties if we come up short, hasn't He? We talk about that at the Lord's Supper. He has paid the penalty. And He keeps the lines always open between us and the Father. And He doesn't even keep a tally of the minutes we use. We'll never get a bill that shows how many minutes we've used if we're coming close to using up our allotted service. Jesus said in reference to His sacrifice for us in John chapter 10, verse 18, "No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I've paid your phone bill on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." He had the choice to do this for us, and He did it for us. He laid down His life voluntarily for us to save us. His sacrifice prepaid our way into heaven. We do not have to work for it. All we have to do is receive the gift and put it into action by obedience. The plan is there. We just have to use it and utilize it. Once we are connected, there are no more fees, and you will always be connected. Nothing will disconnect you from Christ. So when we pick up our cell phone, probably one of the things you'll do when you go out to church, we'll check our calls, see if we missed any calls, see if we have any texts that came in. Think about our relationship with Jesus. There are other things in our life that I know we need to learn to balance based on its importance. Our first priority is to make our life one that people could easily identify as someone who loves Christ. We don't need to be known for our newest cell phone, our newest apps. We don't need to be known for our wittiest texts or our Facebook comments. We need to be known that we are someone who loves Christ and He takes a priority in our life. We're not going to plaster our clothes with buttons or signs that we carry around stating that fact. Or we're not going to cover the back of our vehicles with bumper stickers like you see sometimes. People with religious bumper stickers, which, you know, a few of them are fine, I guess. I don't know. But that's not what we're doing. We're going to live it out in our life, the way we interact with our neighbors. So there's no doubt. Our actions speak louder than our mouth. And hopefully we'll get to the point where we do not have to speak about it at all, for nothing more would need to be said because the evidence is clear. So as we end our service this morning, you'll be free to turn your ringers back on, take your phones out, and as you do so, think about Jesus. And whenever you make a call or send a text on your phone moving forward, think about whether or not you have read the text from Jesus. Talk about whether you have had conversations with the Father in heaven as much as you have on your phone. If you would, let's stand and sing.